Radio Prague News.
The cabinet has approved the deployment of Czech troops for the United Nations missions in the Golan Heights and Mali. The human rights watchdog Amnesty International criticizes Czech schools for discriminating and segregating Roma children, and a new air link between Prague and Beijing should be launched on the 22nd of September. Czech troop deployments for the United Nations missions in the Golan Heights and Mali were approved by the cabinet on Wednesday. A total of around 30 soldiers would participate in both missions lasting through 2016. The Czechs already have been operating in Mali as part of a security force in the capital and in training local soldiers. But the new mandate in the north of the country would involve 26 specialists helping to counter Islamic radicals. The mandate in the Golan Heights could result in up to 5 Czech soldiers being sent there. The UN would expect to cover around 80% of the costs of the missions. Parliament will still have to approve the cabinet decision. Some 25.7 million foreign tourists visited the Czech Republic last year, according to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office and the Ministry of Regional Development on Thursday. Nearly 10% of them merely transited the country, and 51.6% of them stayed for one day only. Among those who stay for a longer period of time are mainly Germans, Russians and Slovaks. They usually spend on average 6 days in the country. Most of the one-day visitors to the Czech Republic also come from Germany and Slovakia, followed by tourists from Austria. Roma children in Czech schools face daily discrimination and segregation, the human rights watchdog Amnesty International says in a report released on Thursday. According to Amnesty International, the situation is caused by the Czech government's long-standing failure to address deeply ingrained prejudice within the education system. Amnesty International's Secretary General, Salil Shetty, said that by failing to properly address this issue for years, the Czech government is not only breaching European Union and human rights law, but is restricting the life chances of tens of thousands of Czech citizens. In reaction to the report, the Czech Ministry of Education told the Czech news agency that it had recently taken a number of measures in support of inclusion. Judges of the Supreme Court of the Czech Republic on Thursday signed a deal on retroactive pay with the government. Under the deal, the state will find around 1.2 billion crowns to partially compensate judges for insufficient pay over the years 2012 to 2014. The settlement became necessary after the Supreme Court ruled that the Ministry of Labour had made a miscalculation when it set the pay levels of judges and state attorneys, which led them being unknowingly underpaid for 3 years. The deal will save the state some 4 million crowns. A new air link between Prague and Beijing should be launched on September 22nd, the Speaker of the Lower House of Parliament, Jan Hamáček, announced on Thursday. Mr. Hamáček made the comment after meeting with the representatives of the Chinese company Hainan, which would operate the new route. The company is planning to start with 3 flights a week. Mr. Hamáček said he is also scheduled to meet with the head of Chinese air carrier China Eastern to discuss a possible opening of another link between Prague and Shanghai. My name is Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Prime Minister backs EU plans to curb migrants in the wake of the Mediterranean disaster. Two Czech reporters are documenting the plight of refugees in war-stricken Iraq and Syria. And in this week's panorama, we look at how heritage and tourist buses are trying to encourage people to get away from the crowds. EU leaders have been holding an emergency summit following the mass drowning of migrants attempting to reach Europe across the Mediterranean. Amongst those in Brussels has been the Czech Prime Minister, Bohuslav Sobotka. He backs an EU plan aimed at reducing the number of migrants attempting the perilous journey, but he continues to oppose quotas for the acceptance of refugees. Ian Willoughby reports.
In one of the worst disasters of its kind, More than 800 people trying to reach Europe drowned off the coast of Libya last weekend. With the number of would-be migrants meeting their deaths in the Mediterranean this year already at around 1,750, EU leader Donald Tusk convened an emergency summit to discuss the crisis. Before his departure for Brussels, Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said his government backed a 10-point plan aimed at reducing the number of people attempting the perilous journey. We are ready to support all EU measures that help Spain, Malta and Italy to face that pressure. We believe that the EU and its specialised agency Frontex should be more active in the Mediterranean Sea. But given that the Czech Republic is itself neither on the Mediterranean nor a top destination for illegal migrants, is the issue really a priority for its government? That's a question I put to Radko Hokovsky of think tank European Values, who is in Brussels.
This is certainly a major European crisis, European problem. And even though the Czech Republic is not confronted directly with this huge problem, I think that the politicians actually do understand that we cannot shy away or recognize that the Czech Republic has to participate in solving this problem. I believe that the Czech Republic is one of the countries of Central and Eastern Europe which do actually take this issue more seriously.
Prime Minister Sobotka is in favour of EU plans to combat people smugglers and has pledged to send aid to states that produce a lot of migrants. But he has again rejected the idea of European states being obliged to take in a certain number of refugees. Radko Hokovsky says most members are opposed to quotas and that the European Commission's plans in this regard are not yet clear.
In case it is voluntary mechanism, then the Czech Republic is ready to participate, even though in just small numbers. But some kind of obligatory mechanism of relocation of refugees, this is something that the Czech Republic don't want to support, because this would be also politically very damaging, and every Eurosceptic party and politician could very clearly say, look, Brussels is telling us that we have to take this or that number of refugees or immigrants, and this would really play very badly with the public.
Radko Hokovsky of the think tank European Values, ending that report by Ian Willoughby. As EU leaders debate Europe's policy on migrants, NGOs and charity organisations are trying to drum up more support in aid of the millions of refugees displaced by the crisis in the Middle East. The Czech branch of the Catholic charity Caritas, which runs a humanitarian aid project in Erbil, is sending two seasoned journalists to Iraq and Syria to document the plight of people in the war-stricken region. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Lenka Klitsperová, editor-in-chief of the prestigious Lidé a Země magazine, and freelance journalist and photographer Jarmila Štuková, set off for Iraq on Thursday on a month-long trip during which they will be documenting the plight of people displaced by the war against the Islamic State and the dire conditions in refugee camps which lead thousands of refugees to risk their lives in search of asylum elsewhere. Ahead of her departure, Lenka Klitsperová told Czech Radio that the documentary project would take them from the region's crowded refugee camps to the front.
What we want to do with the help of Czech Radio and other media in the Czech Republic is to tell the story of individual people, individual families who are caught up in this crisis. We want to show how the war against the IS impacted their lives, what they suffered and what their needs are. We want to make the daily reports of war in the Middle East more real and more pressing by giving them a face and a true story. But we also plan to go to the front to give readers first-hand reports of what this war is like and the scale of the resistance against the IS in northern Iraq and Syria.
Both Lenka Klitsperova and Jarmila Štuková are seasoned reporters who are used to working in countries stricken by war or natural disasters. Lenka has filed reports from the Congo and Afghanistan, focusing on the impact of the war on innocent civilians. Jarmila's work has taken her to earthquake-stricken Haiti, Iraq and Ukraine. Their first stop in their month-long mission in the Middle East will be a series of refugee camps in and around Erbil in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. Freelance photographer Jarmila Štuková told Czech Radio she is not worried about getting a negative reception from the locals.
I have worked in Iraq previously and taking photographs in refugee camps has never been a problem. Of course, you need to win people's trust, but that happens naturally. We expect to spend a long time talking to the refugees and in most cases these people who have suffered enormously are happy to share their story. Not only because it helps to talk about it to someone, but because they really want the world to know what is happening in their country.
Ale především to, že chtějí referovat o tom, co se v jejich zemi děje.
The photographs and real-life stories of refugees will be posted on Czech Radio's web pages and picked up by other media in order to boost Caritas' fundraising campaign for the region. They will eventually also be turned into a travelling exhibition.
Daniela Lazarova ending that report. Now, Prague is undoubtedly a tourism hit, but it's also a victim of a success which overshadows much of the rest of the country. And it's with that in mind that heritage and tourism bosses are seeking to put the spotlight on monuments, events and cultural activities outside the capital. Daniela Lazarova reports in this week's edition of Panorama.
With the start of the tourist season in April, hundreds of castles and chateaus around the Czech Republic open their doors to visitors. In addition to their historical value, these sites have become cultural hubs, providing a wonderful backdrop for the concerts, theatre performances, craft fairs and historical fencing shows that are regularly organised to attract visitors. I spoke to Simona Juračková of the National Heritage Institute about the buildings that the Institute administers and what is in store for tourists this year.
There are hundreds and hundreds of historical sites in the Czech Republic, and the National Heritage Institute administrates and runs more than 100 castles, chateaus, country houses, monasteries, etc.
But you annually prepare novelties to attract visitors. What are some of the most interesting this year?
We attract visitors not only for the castles, but for a lot of activities we prepare on them, like from flower binding installation, costume tours, theatre performances, concerts, medieval craft fairs. But it's not special. This is all the time, every year. You can find it on our sites. But for this year, we've picked one special theme to promote our castles, because we would like to remind that it's been 25 years we are taking care about our sites in a democratic regime. And those changes which went through were enormous.
Can you explain some of this involved?
Yes, because the whole point of view on castles has changed. Like, for example, castles were not previously understood, explained and promoted as a residence of aristocracy. This was simply skipped and like passed in silence, like no one talked about it. And they were treated like landmarks and trip destinations. And this really changed. And of course, the monument care has made a huge progress in the last 50 years. We are giving more preference to concept of originality and authenticity to some kind of reinterpretation. So
if I may interrupt, you're telling visitors who the castle belonged to, how they lived there. Sometimes I understand there are even like table arrangements of what it may have looked like,
yes,
at Christmas.
Exactly.
Is that
we take care about like everyday life, which is a concept not very old. It's quite new, like 20, 30 years, like the everyday life of a noble families. So we would like to show our visitors both like which changes happened in our sites. Like we would like to use pictures before and after to recognize the differences, because we put a lot of money into it and a lot of energy, of course. And we would like to show kind of behind the scene things, like how we are preparing the installation, how we use, for example, old inventories or pictures from the beginning of 20th century, which depicts the place as was used by the last owner.
Do you cooperate with some of those noble families to whom it belonged? Because there are things like paintings, historic paintings of family members. How do you go about that?
We've got a huge collections of items. Our castles and chateaus are full of stuff, which is wonderful. But of course, we try to stay in touch with the previous owner if it's possible, because sometimes it's not very easy for both sides, as those castles were taken by state from the noble family, and sometimes it still hurts.
Right. So which of those would you say are the most popular, if you were to name some?
Yes, I would like to mention Kratochvíle, which is a beautiful hunting lodge in southern Bohemia, built by famous Wilhelm of Rosenberg in late 18th century. And there was a project, complex project, we can call it Rebirth of the Renaissance. And during several years, like 6-7 years, the whole, we called it villa, was very sensitively restored and completely new installation was prepared. And now it returned to its appearance under the last of the Rosenbergs. So 400 years ago, everyday life, this is amazing.
Can you just tell me, what can foreign visitors expect when they come to these places? I assume that there are tours in a number of languages, and what is in store for them? Would they get a tour in person in a foreign language, or is there an audio guide? You know, are there events that, mm-hmm. that basically they can find on your webpage to choose mm-hmm. from if they want to attend a food mm-hmm. festival or a fencing event, mm-hmm. period costumes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it really varies. We try to put the service on an equal level, but of course the most visited castles, Český Krumlov, or Lednice, or Hluboká, or Karlštejn, are well prepared to welcome foreign visitors. Like they've got foreign language guided tours in a special times. So this is easiest just to go for the biggest one, which is not usually the big surprise, because you know it from a guidebooks and whatever. But each object has got a guided tours, which is in a Czech, and you will get the written texts in language you need. So we are working on it, but still we don't have a guide tours in foreign language everywhere.
I understand that there is now a campaign, a sort of trail to highlight the country's undiscovered treasures. Can you explain a little? What is that?
We've got 105 sites all around the Czech Republic, and a lot of them are around the corner. It's not that available by public transport. All of them are available, but it's quite far, because the noble family were looking for hidden places to take care, to have a rest far from Prague. So we recognize those about 30, usually country houses, as like hidden treasures, and we would love our audience to rediscover them. So it's kind of offer to go for smaller places, which are a bit quiet, not that crowded, not that load of tourists, and it offers the special possibility to take their time there, enjoy the place, because they're all beautiful.
I understand that you even have a raffle where people may win a trip somewhere, is that right?
Yes, we've got a special program. You are having 5 stamps and 6 ticket is for free, and then you can send the ticket to us and you can you can win some very nice prizes, like 2 days in our castles, spending night somewhere with a nice meal. So I think it's quite attractive.
This country is extremely rich in castles and chateaux, and a lot of Czechs actually spend part of their holidays travelling around them. What do you think attracts them to these castles and chateaux, and what is it that they go in search of when they visit them?
Oh, I would love to know. We have to make a bigger research. But, you know, we live with those castles since our childhood. We usually went there with their parent with our parents, so it's kind of memories, and we've got a lot of them. So it's called our castles are our sea. So it's quite popular, and everyone loves it.
The reason I'm asking is that people visit Czechs visit these castles repeatedly. So
yes.
Does that involve for you? Does that involve actually bringing them to life and actually attracting people by the events that are held there, not just the castle itself?
Yes, there's a lot of activities, like thousands of them. And you, if you live somewhere, you usually visit your favorite castles around. You don't travel all around the Czech Republic to see something new. The people want to see something new in their close castles. So they have to deal with it, and they have to show somewhere something new. They have to prepare a lot of performances, concert. So there are live places with a lot of activities.
What are some of the most popular events taking place throughout the summer at these castles and chateaux? Is it like period stuff? Is it fencing? Is it jugglers? Is it dancing? Or is it things like food festivals and food competition, eating competitions, flower shows?
Yeah. Food festivals are growing. Flower shows are very popular. Music performances and concerts are quite popular during the summer. And costume-guided tours. Children loved it. So these are the most repeatedly organized activities.
When you say guided tours in costumes, did you say what
yes.
does that mean?
That it can be a part of a performance. That the guides are actors, and they act a bit from the life of a noble family. They may use a special old-fashioned language. It really varies.
I understand that you can also organize weddings at some of these places. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We organize a lot of weddings because everyone wants to marry at a castle or in a chateau. So we work with it, and we try to make a lot of brides happy.
A fairy tale wedding.
Oh yeah, exactly.
How is that? Is this for foreigners as well? And how soon must they contact you in advance for you to arrange such a wedding?
Yeah, it's no problem for foreigners as well. The all necessary informations are on each web page of a site.
And I understand there are also night events at some of these places. Is that right?
The special guided tours, both costumes, both nights, are very popular. It's like one third of our special activities. But we've got one special night at the end of August, Saturday, and it's called Night of Castles and Chateaux, and it's open till midnight. So it's very popular.
What is your absolutely top, the most successful site, the most successful monument that actually attracts crowds of people?
You're killing me. I can't say I love every place. So if I could choose, I would pick for this year Kratochvíle, because it's so beautiful. It's 16th century. It's like the time had stopped there, and you can see the Renaissance noble families walking around, kind of. You can smell the Renaissance there.
Simona Juračková ending that report on the offer to tourists this year. If you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be very glad to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, that's all for now, and thanks for joining us, and goodbye.